Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Geshe-la will be coming in a few minutes. If you have never been to the center, I just wanted to mention that you'll see everyone stand. We usually stand when he enters out of respect for him and his teachings. And then you'll see people prostrating. And if you feel uncomfortable doing that, you're welcome to just remain standing. Geshe will be repeating the same teaching that he gave this morning. And so he was, his intention is to talk about the art of happiness in this book, but he'll be speaking mostly on meditation and precious human life today. And we'll have a brief presentation from the Financial Development Committee about where we stand and so forth. You'll see a table of offerings. This was from yesterday's Taurus practice, and we usually leave it up so that you can enjoy the offerings also. And we please request some volunteers to help take it down. You don't need any experience or prior knowledge to do this. I'll just show you how to break it down, and then we'll be also passing out the offerings also to people. If you have cell phones on, would you please either turn them off or put them on mute so it doesn't disturb the teachings? And we'll be saying prayers from this white prayer book, mostly on the first two pages, the beige sheet and the pink sheet. And let's see. Also, I'm not sure if anyone is aware, but it's really not in this tradition. We discourage people pointing their feet at the holy objects or toward the teacher, you know, like the soles of your feet. If you have, like a problem, a physical problem, then that's fine. You know, that's certainly an exception. But otherwise, it's not good to just sort of stretch your legs out and so forth intentionally. Let's just try to get our minds ready to hear the teachings and sort of settle our minds also from the busyness of getting here, getting situated. So also, Geshe-la has asked me to remind people about the enormous merit that we gain simply by walking around the stupa, which is outside. Just doing even one circumambulation gives you incredible merit due to the power of the object, the holy object, which is the representation of the Buddha's enlightened mind. There's many mantras in there, holy objects, relics in there. So he encourages us to do that, like before and after we come to the center. He, you know, in other times, other situations, other, if you have time to come, you know, you're welcome to come at any time. For example, I circumambulated with my granddogs around there, my daughter and granddogs, and so they will also receive incredible merit. please turn to the first base sheet in the white prayer book, and we'll chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times to the four immeasurables, and then the in English, and then the Tibetan. Taya ta om mune maha munaye soha taya ta om mune maha munaye soha taya ta om mune maha munaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam che deva dong de mantras at the bottom, Chenrezig mantra, eight times, and Green Taro's mantra, seven times. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha, 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Now the children are welcome to go to their classes. If your child has never been to a class, would you please accompany your child and fill out a survey form and find out where to pick your child up.
Good morning. Good morning. begin with some meditations. Okay. So we'll do 9 round breathing meditations. Okay, we'll begin with 9 round breathing meditations. Please sit comfortably. Make sure that your back is straight. Okay. Nine round breathing meditation. There's like 3 rounds. You know, each round in each round says 3 breathing exercise. First one done with closing the left nostril with this hand. Inhale. Okay, inhale. Long, slow. Then exhale. So, 2-3 times, okay? So now please, right hand, same. Only difference right and left, same technique. Inhale, long, slow. So the second round. So now third round, from both nostrils. Inhale, exhale. Okay. So it end with exhale. It begin with inhale and each the 3 round. Each round begin with inhale, then end with exhale. Okay, same here. Inhale. This go 9 round breathing meditation. We'll probably we'll do it again one more time. So it said, you know, like that we breathe in and out 21,000 times a day. We breathe in and out 21,000 times a day. But out of that, how many we are aware, we are aware that breathing in and out. So this like 9 round breathing meditations, know that the oxygen that we breathe in, this is called lung roll. Lung, literally, lung means oxygen. Roll means wasted oxygen. So, roll, lung roll. That's how we say in Tibetan. Roll means, you know, something is not useful. Lung roll, wasted oxygen. So, gu means 9, that means 3, that's called 9. Lung ro means wasted oxygen. Gu, this is the name of the meditations. Gu means 9. So that means each section is 3, 3, 3, that's 9. Cell means eliminate. Eliminate. What? Wasted oxygen. How to eliminate wasted and oxygen. These are stuck into our channels. There's a way to get rid of. So those wasted oxygen do cause physical discomfort, so then they contribute to mental discomfort. So this is the way to get rid of, okay? So purpose of this 9 round breathing meditation is eliminating wasted oxygen that's been stuck into our channels. How that's been created is like not being mindful. as I mentioned, 21,000 times a day, breathing in and out. Out of that, how many were aware? In my case, none. No, so I'm not sure about your case, but my case is none. No. I usually don't think about how I breathe. No. It's like now educating ourselves how to be mindful when we breathe. So then that's the way to stop this wasted oxygen that goes through our channels. When you're being mindful, then the oxygen becomes something useful rather than just waste. Okay, so it's very simple. You don't need to do any prayer. You can sit down. You can do as a group. You can share with the purpose of learning is to life is all about sharing and giving. So this is knowledge, that you share. Okay, so then if you do, then you get benefit. Okay. It began with inhale, then it ends with exhale. So here, each round, there's 3, 3, 3, that's called nine round breathing meditations, okay? So first, use your left hand, blow your... The back has to be straight, Then, why is it important to have the body straight? If the body is straight, the channel is going to be straight. If the channel is straight, then oxygen will run smoothly. So make sure that we don't become like the, don't sit like Italian pasta. Not the cooked one, not uncooked. Uncooked is there straight. Uncooked, we will put it there, it's just cooked with the tomato sauce, then it's all like that, And it's not good. So it's straight. So that part's joke, but this is important, so that nobody tells us you have to do meditations. So I'm just assuming that you come here hoping to learn some, meditations. So then I feel responsibility. I should explain something that's been taught many, many generations ago, thousand years ago, at least like 2,500 years ago. So then if the body is straight, the channel is going to be straight. If the channel is straight, then oxygen will run smoothly. There's a Liu Chong Na, Zha Chong. Zha Chong Na, Lung Na, Zha means channel. Okay? So that's why comfortable body, sit on the comfortable cushions. The cushion should be, when you meditate, should be a little bit like this. Back of the cushion should be a little bit like this. Then you sit comfortably, comfortable cushion, comfortable body, but back has to be straight. And with comfortable mind. So then that's how you begin your meditation, okay? So then this finger, like this, blow your left nostril, begin with inhale, long, slow. So this first round, okay, 3. No. Each time you inhale, you count. Inhale, count. Then you count 3 times. Inhale, exhale. It begins with inhale, but it ends with first round, ends with the exhale. So that's 3, okay? So now, please, right hand, blow your right nostril, inhale. Second round, now third, not from the mouth, from nose, inhale, exhale. Each time you inhale, you count, but end with, this round will end with the exhale, okay? So this is called 9-round Buddha meditation. So purpose of this meditation, you know, is important. So I say, in Buddhism, the wisdom is the solutions. No wisdom, no progress. So wisdom, you know, liberates. Okay. So then, in order to have wisdom, we have to have knowledge. So then, you know, learning this meditation is knowledge. Then there, from there, you know, gain some wisdoms. You know, so then the wisdom will probably liberate us from this, how I say, wasteful energy. So in this case, you can breathe long. It doesn't have to be natural. You can breathe. You know, you can long, slow. This also, you can also call breathing yoga, because yoga simply means practice, you know? No more, no less. Yoga means, doesn't mean physical movement. It means Sanskrit word. It means practice. Tibetan is called nanjor. Nanjor, naljor. Same is yoga. Nanjor means practice. So this is like breathing practice or breathing yoga. So now the second meditation that, you know, so this second meditation is called, this one is particularly designed to help us how to stop thinking about something. Thinking, you know. Tibetan word we call namtok, namtok. So difficult, stop, namtok, you know. Like creating something in your mind, you know, cannot stop. Excuse me. So then people say, empty your mind. Easy to say, empty your mind. When it's come down to practical level, it's not easy, you know. So one way you can empty, thinking something precisely, concentrating on something, that's the way to empty your mind. Oh? Longest mind's going to be there, is there, no, it's not going to be empty, it's going to be something all the time. There's going to be something in the mind. Oh? Do you agree? Long as there's mind, there's going to be something. So that clearly indicates, you know, empty your mind. It's not easy how you're going to empty. So now there's a way to, you know, like you concentrate. In this case, this is called this is simply called breathing meditations. So now it's important, you know, the definition of meditations. Breathing meditation, it means simply we are trying to familiar with how we breathe. That's all. Breathing meditation means becoming familiar with something that we are not very familiar. So that's the definition of meditations. So here, breathing meditation, we are simply trying to be aware how we breathe. In, make sure it's in, it's not out. If you think it's out, that's a mistake. It's no good. So that means that's not mindful. So here, you know, these meditations, 9-round breathing meditations, begin with inhale, right? Inhale. So this one begins with exhale. Probably from nose. Exhale. So this eventually has to be very natural. At the beginning, no, we need may put some effort. That's okay, you know. Even though you are not aware, you can say out, in. So each time when we inhale, please count. That's one. Each time when you inhale, there's two. So we count. Try to count that. There, the way we're trying to pile up all our attention on that. Okay. So we'll do this. Exhale from nose, inhale, then we'll count, see how many we can count. Oh, here. So if you can count 21 without mistake, you can certainly count 50. You can count 70, 100. So there's no simplest way to concentrate. Concentration produce no calm mind, peaceful mind. That's why you concentrate, not because you come to Kadamba Center. So it's sake of your own peace of mind, sake of your own peace of mind. So this ancient, way of producing calm mind. Goes back to 2,500 years. It goes back that far. So something, jishi, concentrations, makes your mind peaceful, calm. That's why you concentrate. That's the only reason why you concentrate, because I like to have calm mind, peaceful mind, because my mind is, you could say, my mind or my elephant is getting too wild. Too wild. So mind is considered as elephant, while so powerful. So in order to make that, catch that elephant, you have to have rope. The mindfulness is like rope. With that rope, you try to catch that elephant. So not just catch, then tie that elephant in somewhere. In this case, your breathing, your own breath. That's right, that's object. So here, the key point is to counting without any mistakes. Exhale, it begins with exhale, inhale, one. Exhale, inhale. Even though you hear the sound, you don't follow them, your job is to count. 21, if you decide to count 21, so no mistake, you just count 21. So when we do, I think we should do it well, otherwise, it's a waste of time. So this is namtok, the Tibetan word. We say namtok means ongoing thought. Where to stop this, where to stop that thought. So just concentrate, okay? Making ourselves familiar with how we breathe in and out. That's called, you can call breathing yoga, breathing meditation, breathing exercise, same meaning. So then you do meditation, then you get benefit. Instead of thinking, the monks and nuns, they will do meditation, so maybe I may get some benefit. That's not going to work. So you meditate, you learn, and you meditate, you get benefit, okay? So that's why knowledge is important. Then last couple of weeks, I've been kind of like obsessive about this couple of subjects here. So trying to share, we are friends, I consider you as a friend, not really my students. I'm not qualified for teachers. I'm also students. I'm still learning. So here, what we do, we come here, share our experience, share our knowledge, and trying to be helpful to each other. So then most of the things in this center totally based on voluntaries. Whatever we do here. People who comes here, we do for them, building a stupa, holy object. So I was really, really happy to have this holy object. So I've been talking in this center last 15 years. 15 years. Can you imagine that last 15 years? I've been, mumbling here last 15 years. So not 100% sure from my side how much that benefits you. Not sure, So, but, I'm trying to here to explain what I learned, not based on what I experienced, what I learned back in the monastery since I was 7. So till I came here, so I was in the monastery. So this stupa, the holy object, so I highly recommend you to read the benefit of going around this holy object. This is inside that there are so many relics contained. So just going one round, I myself go around. When I come here, I just go one round. It says the pig, chased by a dog, running out of fear of life, get benefit, just accidentally dog chase a pig around the stupa. So we are not chased by anybody, we just go there by voluntarily. So benefit, there's 100% benefit It's not like, oh, no, so maybe benefit some, maybe. It's not like me mumbling here. When you go around there, there's 100% benefit when you go around here. So we built simply for all of you here. So much people put so much energy there, so just going around. And I also mentioned, you know, if you have pet, dog, cat, lizard, snake, whatever pet you have, cockroach, so there's all kind of pets here. So you can bring them here. Also go around. So benefit, you know, there's like a lot of benefit. So I want you to take advantage of that, okay? So then a couple of topics that I thought, you know, it's important to, it's important for myself, it's important to me, so I think, you know, it's especially it's important for development countries. Time and time again, you hear, you know, people there, you know, you hear like, I don't like myself, you know, so I don't feel good about myself, and all kinds of, you know, like looking down oneself, you know, not feeling good about. So in that, because of that, I think it's very important, like, since, you know, 2,500 years ago, Shakyamuni Buddha said, the life that we possess is so precious. Then after that, since after that, it's been repeatedly said, again, 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 again. Why? Just to benefit us, just to help us, that's all. So these people, Shakyamuni Buddha, the Lama Tsongkhapa, these people have no interest. They are not trying to sell their idea to us. They have no interest in material gains. They are not interested in power. They are not. They have not. They don't have any interest. When you look at, can you imagine somebody who wrote all these books free of copyright? Anybody can print. Anybody can type. Nobody's making any money. These are wonderful books. There's almost like 350 books here, all copyright, free of copyright. So they have no interest. So then I think, as a human being, you know, not as a Buddhist, as a human being, maybe we should pay some attention to what they are trying to say. So they are saying people should feel good about their life, not just feel good about, you know, to try to see their life as something so precious. You know, far more precious than precious jewel. It looks like this. It's called precious jewel, called Yishinobu, called Yishinobu. Norvus jewel, Yishinobu means like precious jewel. Sometimes Tibetan people, we call His Holiness Dalai Lama, we call him precious jewel, Yishinobu. So anyway, if you have one of them, if you possess one of them, you just imagine. If you are thinking about cheesecake, it will just appear here. No, if you think about the fresh chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Food, it will be right there. So that's kind of interesting. To have something like that, you can just imagine, you know. So you don't have to go to drive all the way to Whole Foods. Just imagine, you know. So that will help us. So that regarding this life, it will help so much, you know. Not getting on time there, so then, you know. So if you get there a little late, then the cookie is kind of cold. So you know. So then you have yeah, we put some effort every day. We go there, you know. So I used to, no, not one of my friends used to go there every day, you know, to, just to get chocolate chip, Whole Food. So then she buys, you know, sometimes she buys one for herself, one for me, one for this, another. So then when she brings back, then I'm always hoping the Ondra will not eat his cookies. So then I can have two. So now I cannot eat any of those. So, So anyway, so that's called precious jewel, Yishinobu, you know. If you possess that, one of them is kind of interesting. You can just imagine it will just appear there. So even that, having this 100 of those, your life is far more precious. So now each one of us has responsibility how to get that message across to the people. Let them know that something's been said. Our life, something so precious. So how we can, you know, each one of us here has responsibility to to introduce people that piece of information there. You know, you don't have to become Buddhist just to understand what they are trying to say. Precious human life, far more precious. So not just to feel good about yourself, you know, okay, you can do whatever you want to do, you are very smart. No, it's good. That's, the bottom line is to looking down, abusing, ruin one's life is not good. No, It simply is not true. If you are thinking, oh, I'm not good, that's not true. It's not true. It's not true according to their, you know, message. It's not true. So not just that. No, so then it's like so meaningful, so meaningful. As I mentioned, you know, one of my close friends, you know, shot herself almost now years ago, when I was in Nepal, struggling, you know. She has good job, good money, but what she's saying to me is like, my life has no meaning. That's not true. I can't just, you know, die. It's very difficult, you know, even like your friend who's going through like that. How can you help? It's very difficult. So this is important piece of information that to pay some attention and think in daily basis when you wake up, something to find within yourself that you are, you know, you will be grateful. In Buddhism, it's like precious human life. That's what you think. When you wake up every day, you think about, you know, this life I have is so precious. This opportunity that gives you, you know, so from learning, lack of this body, even learning one sentence, they'll take a long time. So there's each one of us here in this room has responsibility how to help people, you know. Not just me as a monk, we as a human being, we try to help them, you know, to see, not to see something good, but see there's something very precious and so meaningful, so difficult to find. The 3 points I've been thinking about last couple of weeks, thinking about difficult to find. You know, that doesn't come often in the conversation. People don't say, oh, I don't think my life is difficult to find. I've never heard this through conversation. But first two, I heard being here last 15 years. There's very little you can do. Even though there's somebody, your friend, that you really care about, if that person tells you, I don't see that my life has no meaning. It's simply not true. You can't make them think that your life is meaningful. There's something that, you know, people have to be educated. You know, this life is so precious. In the Lam Rim teachings, you know, 500 years ago, Lama Tsongkhapa taught the Lam Rim teachings. Second important topic is begin with precious human life. Okay? Then also I, you know, talk about those 3 things, so precious, so meaningful, so difficult to find. So basically, we must, you know, I'm not just saying this to make you happy. So there's no that. What I said is, I'm just repeating here. It's been said, you know. So what I'm hoping is that maybe you'll pay some attention into that. Maybe what they're trying to say. It's not just yesterday, 1 week ago. It's been many, many generations ago, they've been saying again and again. So then, you know, next time, as I said, you know, right now, I don't see it's like really precious, you know, so why is it precious? So then, example that I use that you can buy in the grocery store, that's called, it says, I can't believe it's butter. I can't believe it's butter. Oh, I can't believe it's not butter. Oh, that one. So eventually you say, okay, I cannot believe this is not precious. So that's good news. That either you will reach that point, you know. So that meditation means making ourselves familiar with certain idea that we are not familiar. Oh? So simply is not true. No meaning. No, there's no meaning. It's not good. That's not true. It's not true. So why you push yourself in something that's not true? No, nothing good comes out of that. So basically, live your life, you know, the whole idea comes down, living life, like living miserable life is not good. It's so precious, you shouldn't make your life miserable. It's so precious. It means ruin, abusing, looking down, it's all not good. So we must, you know, think good about ourselves. Just think good. Why? There's 3 important points that I want to mention. Just think good. Why? Because this will expire. It will expire at some point. It will expire. So therefore, you just think good about yourself. Just think good about yourself. That's important. When? Now. Why? Expiration date is uncertainty. Uncertainty? That's what now. So then why you think good? Why you think good of yourself? Why you think good of other people's? You know, like, there's 3 points, like I said. Okay, so maybe the last point, I don't remember, it's okay. So then, you know, the prayer that we say, you know, may all sentient beings have happiness and cause of happiness. This is all designed to help us to grow, become bigger than yourself, grow. You know? So it is, in a practical level, it's kind of overwhelming thinking about all living beings, you know. So it has to start from somewhere. That's what I've been talking about this last couple of, I think, months probably now, couple of months. Yeah. Not because there's nothing to talk about. You can imagine. All these books we can read, but the whole point is here, you know, is may all sentient beings. Instead of saying may all sentient beings, but that attitude, this altruistic attitude, become in order to that's called universal love and compassion. But it has to begin from somewhere. So you begin with your close one, friend, family member. You know, that's something that you see every day. So now, developing loving kindness, what is the definition of loving kindness? Loving kindness is something that your friend, your close one is struggling not to get in sake of happiness. Not getting for sake of happiness. To try to get something, you know, to make themselves happy. Not getting that. Then you contribute towards that. That's from Buddhist point of view, that's the definition of love, loving kindness. Okay, compassion. Your friend is no close one, struggling, overcome from certain difficulties. Then you help them free. You help them free from that. That's compassion. So it's clearly, you know, it's so difficult. You know, whenever we encounter some, how you say, unhappy persons, it's not to. It's so difficult, practically so difficult to, wow, this is a great opportunity that somebody's really miserable now. I have opportunity to develop compassion, practice patience. We don't do that. Why is it difficult? It's not easy. So therefore, start from close one, then slowly move that attitude to the strangers, then move to the enemies, people you don't like. So then that's become universal compassion and loving kindness. That's how it take the process is check like that. So we don't give up. So, you know, oh, you went to grocery store, then, you know, you met somebody, you're trying to think, buy something, and you ask some questions, that person is kind of like miserable. You know, so right from the beginning, for some reason, that person is really angry, you didn't do anything. So then when you encounter something like that, where's compassion? There's no compassion. Like, you know, so then it's very difficult. So, you know, when you come back, you have to realize how this universal compassion will start. It starts from the close one. So with person that you spend a lot of time, so then think. So then it's good, you know, that's how you build that. So so that's, you know, I saw something that I just want to share with you. So the definition of love is contributing to get something that person is not getting, you know, to make themselves happy. So you contribute towards that. That's love. Or kindness. Person struggling from some difficulties to overcome, not able to overcome, then you contribute towards that rather than, you know, denying them, you know. So that's loving kindness. So so then today there's, you know, limited amount of time, so I'll read this one question. Okay, one question has been sitting here. I can answer this question based on my knowledge, not necessarily based on my experience. Pretty much what I said here is based on knowledge, you know. Some probably based on tiny experience, but, you know, pretty much based on knowledge. Here, a question about Krishna says, how do I come to terms with the fact that my mother and I just cannot be friends? So each one of us responsibility to answer the questions, okay? Don't just look at me. We have some we had some terrible conversations recently, and she hung up the phone on me. So not the first time. She's a traditional Southern Baptist Republican. you should read the questions. You should read to make sure everybody hears the questions. We have only 3 minutes left.
She's a traditional Southern Baptist Republican, unlike me in every way, and is very close to my younger sister. I've always felt like a weed in our family, and truth is, at 55 years old, every time I see or speak to her, it makes my tummy hurt. My heart aches from our last round, and I feel like an orphan. I have tried to make peace with her and my sister, but they clearly don't want to. So thank you.
Contribution. Donations. Maybe Lamala, you say something. Yeah.
Okay. I've had a similar problem. So what I did, I mean, it was really bad. But it takes time. You know, you really maybe don't bring up certain conversations, like trying to, you know, thrust our Buddhist thoughts on them or our political ideas. And, you know, just try to talk about more neutral ground. And then what worked for me in my situation was that I worked with my relationship with my mother. So in other words, I tried to provide her, I listened to what she really wanted, like maybe work around the house, help. She was probably feeling anxious about getting old. And so what I tried to do was I tried to help her in any way, help her with her shopping. I think she was lonely, so I tried to, you know, engage her in conversation and things like that. And slowly, within a few years, she's come around and she's gotten to be more accepting. She's also Baptist, but she is slowly coming around to understanding and accepting more Buddhist thoughts, you know, my robes, other, you know, chakila, and things like that. So I think that instead of trying to, you know, try to get acceptance of your beliefs, try to do it the other way. Try to get in through the other door and build a, you know, a nice, close relationship, enrich that relationship in other ways, you know, try to help them in any way that they, you know, would really like. And then set aside those other touchy views like religion and politics and so forth, and you know, help in other ways. And then slowly they'll see, oh, maybe Buddhists aren't so bad, you know. maybe all monks and nuns aren't so bad after all. And then they'll become more accepting. But I think you have to do it in a different way.
More donations? Yeah. Oh, now? Yeah, one, then time is finished. Yeah, here.
I have a similar problem. Hello? Yeah. I have a similar problem with my mother and sister, and I've decided that the only way to change the environment is they are both under tremendous pressure. They both work really hard. They both have their own separate difficult circumstances. And my place in the relationship is to support them and to comfort them and to compliment them and remind them that they have their inner strength and not worry about whether they're interested in me, but just to be there for them. And as long as I remove sharing anything about myself from the equation, we're good. It's starting to work.
Also in a similar situation, and the tactic that I'm taking right now, it may change as I get older, but it's okay not to have toxic people in your life, even if it's your mom.
We just have time for a couple more comments.
Thanks. I've never shared during this time, but this hits profoundly with me personally. My father passed away about a decade ago, but my father and I never got along. And it was very freeing. I had been in therapy for a number of years, psychotherapy. And when I was able to say to myself, I don't like him, and he doesn't like me, and that's okay. It was very freeing to me. And then I was able to not engage. So I would refuse to engage in the discussions that we would start arguing about. I just wouldn't engage in them. I would be present and try and change the topic. Or I sometimes would just have to leave, gently leave the situation. But I'm very grateful I was able to then treat him with loving kindness, even though we didn't really like each other. And I was able to be present with him when he was dying and treat him very lovingly and be present for him and go to the hospital and do all those things. And it didn't change the fact that we didn't like each other, but I was able to love him in that way. So it was very, very powerful. Thanks.
I actually went through this with my mother and father, and we started writing, because spoken word can get too fast. You can go too quickly through emotion. And so we started writing each other letters, and in every letter I make a point, I just thank. I thank for the food that was put on the table. I thank for the clothes that was put on my back. I thank and try to bring up memories where I was thankful for something that was good, because as much as you disagree, there's got to be something that they did for you that you can be thankful for. And that has opened major doors with compassion. And it's helped me discover who my family is. So I feel like less of an orphan now.
Thank you. These are all teachings, whether we call it teaching or not, it is teaching for us, all of us. So maybe even though my now 4 minutes over, so should I say something? Yeah, so maybe. So thank you for all your advice. I think this will keep in our heart. No, this is all good. So, and as I said, according to the, what is called, mind training text. These are all mind training texts. Means this is all mind training, means helping your, what we call in Buddhism, called mind training texts. Most of the messages like that. So, simply, we cannot make everybody happy. That's the reality. So, it's okay. So, you need pampa, what we call here, giving space. It sounds kind of terrible in Tibetan word, in like the text, you need. It's like sometimes avoiding object. So, that means it's okay to avoid object, because we are going to be more successful than sticking with the object and trying to apply antidotes, such as like loving kindness, compassion. It's simple, it's like far more difficult than, bringing up somebody's old dead like 10 days ago, then you're trying to bring them life. It's going to be like that challenge. It's not going to be easy. So be simply, gently, you just leave the object. And, here you say, give space. So that's like union, so So then, you know, like as I just said, you know, simply in this life, I'm not hoping that I will make every single person that I meet in my life and every single person that I see in my life that I can make them happy. Because everybody has their own mind, opinions, concept of life, you know, so it's impossible to make everybody happy. So we have to be realistic, not just, you know, realistic. So then in the end, we try all our best. Doesn't mean try means stick with the object. So there's different way to try, you know. So, and yeah, so all of the three of your, you know, all of your like contribution is critical. So that's why I want to hear all of you from here. You know, everybody has something to offer. You know, these are based on experience. It's not just based on what you learn in the monastery. These are experience, you know, based on experience. So experience will touch our heart. So that's what I'm hoping. So future, I hope you'll give more donations like this, and you know, people will be grateful. Okay, thank you very much.
It'll take just a minute to get the slides going here. This is just the eye candy photo here to start, a picture of our stupa 3 weeks ago on dedication day. Then there were the 135 people that gathered around for the photograph there. We're going to put that on the wall. We're going to print that up. But now on to our business here of talking about Kadampa Center finances. I'm David Strievel, and I'm on the board of directors of Kadampa Center. I used to be the treasurer, and now I'm the treasurer emeritus. And so a couple of times a year, at least, we want to just, for a few minutes, review how we make our center go, which certainly requires donations in order to pay the expenses. That's what we're focusing on here today. And so we're going to talk about our budget for this year and the results, our financial results for January through May. So our topics are going to be our organizational form, our annual budget, income and expenses, the results of our annual appeal, our actual income and expenses year to date, a little digression to talk about the stupa project that we're just near completing, and then a summary. So we're organized as a corporation under the laws of the state of North Carolina. We're a nonprofit corporation, as most churches are, and we're managed by a board of directors, according to state regulations. So we're led by Robbie Watkins, our center director. You probably know him. And we have Shankar Mitra as our president, Lisa James as our treasurer, Karen Mastriani as our secretary, and there are six more board members. The board members normally serve three-year terms. You can see all our pictures and bios on our website. If you look on the About Us item and down under Management Team, there's some words there and pictures of who's on the board right now. And we may need some recruits in the future, just so you'll know. One of the things the board does every year is we have to plan a year ahead. We think about our budget. and we make up a list of all the expenses that we think we're going to have, and then we try to figure out where the income is going to come from. So, and that budget, in fact, is on the website, too. If you look there on that same About Us list of items, our budget for this year is there in detail, and so are the financial results from the first quarter of the year. So, to summarize it in just two or three lines here, our planned income this year was $187,000. Our planned expenses were $185,000. For a surplus, if all went exactly according to plan, $2,500. And this is the unrestricted budget. It does not include paying for things like the stupa. So here's a review of what we have on the income side in our budget. We were looking to our annual appeal to members to be the most important fundraising area for the year, as we have now for quite a few years, and that was in there for $108,000, or about 58% of all the donations we needed were expected to come from the annual appeal. Then general Donna just means gifts put in the Donna boxes that aren't attributed to any other project or item, $22,000. Visiting teachers, $20,000. That's donations that occur at special times, like when Venerable Children visited here a few weeks ago. Class and Sunday donations are the ones that come in, say, marked Discovering Buddhism or Buddhism in a Nutshell, when people attend and they feel some gratitude about those teachings, and they put in an envelope, they mark it that way. In-kind donations are gifts of housing to our Sangha, or things that people buy and then give right to the Kadampa Center. Special events and pujas are the sponsorships for pujas. Bookstore non-dharma, when you buy things in the bookstore and it's not a dharma book, that's counted as unrestricted income for the center. So that's where our income is expected to come from this year. And here's a review of the expenses. As with most church-type organizations, our biggest item is employing our staff. And so 55% of our entire budget expense, of that's $102,000 essentially, is expected to be for paying our Sangha, Geshe Gelug and Geshe Tsongpo, and Venerable Chukyi. And then we also employ Sarah Brooks and Donna Cease. So we pay five people, and Venerable Lamo actually is here all the time donating her services. We do not pay her. We do not provide her any health insurance, any retirement, or anything whatsoever. But for the five people that we do pay, as you can see, if you divide up $101,000 and you think it's not just their pay, but their Social Security tax and some housing benefit and health insurance and some car allowance, it's not that much money for each person. It's a very non-materialistic situation. Then we have office expenses, insurance, grounds maintenance, repairs, utilities like heating the building here, paying for electricity, $25,700. Mortgage payments are our third biggest expense. Through a great outpouring of generosity several years ago, when we obtained this building, about two-thirds of all our building and grounds here are paid for, but we do owe First Citizens Bank $213,000. And we are paying on that every year. We have 13 years to go, and so we pay them $22,800 a year on the mortgage. Spiritual program expenses. When Venerable Children visits, we have to pay to bring her here, all the expenses and so on, and I believe also a donation to her. So that's part of that expense, plus pujas, retreats at Nolan's Farm, class materials, comes to about $21,000. Financial development expenses, keeping in touch, mailing our members, and paying an annual fee to the FPMT comes to $7,000. prison project, children's program, other committee expenses are the rest of our planned expenses. Now let's just talk about our annual appeal, our biggest single fundraising effort every year. It was concluded early this year. It starts in November and is concluded in January. The pledge goal was $108,000, and we were very successful. The total pledge was $113,700. And as of May 31st, $71,000 of that was paid in, and $42,000 is still to go. Now, some of that money was paid in during the last calendar year. So we have kind of 2 years here. There's the pledge year, which starts in November and goes all through the next year. And then there's the calendar year we do our accounting on. So some of that $71,000 came in late last year. We think we can depend on the $42,000 being paid in. We've always found that the pledges come in very reliably. And, of course, it's perfectly okay for people to pay by the month, by the quarter, any way they'd like. And so we have that money still coming in through the rest of this calendar year. And thanks to everyone who participates in that process. So here's a look at our actual income and expenses so far this year. Our income year-to-date through May 31st was $64,300, and the expenses were $65,000. So we had a deficit of $700. Now, on that much money, $700 is not a huge deficit, although it's a little bit of a concern. It's certainly not going in the correct direction that we need to pay our bills. I guess I might mention, of course, that our center here receives no outside support. There is no international Buddhist organization that somehow sends us money to keep going. We have to do it all ourselves. And so deficits have to be worried about and dealt with in the long run, which, of course, we could do if we could wipe out this deficit today if one member donated $700 before they left. Or if 100 members donated $7, that would deal with it. That's the range. It's not a huge amount. Now, as to our checking account balance, we have been looking very good there over the last 6 months. We actually have more money on hand than we have had in years, $54,000 on May 31st. And that's enough to pay expenses for 3.5 months. So it may sound like a lot of money, but really we spend money at the rate where in 3.5 months it would all be gone if more didn't constantly come in. So that's our challenge as an organization, is to keep the donations coming in little by little, because the expenses don't stop. Now I'd like to talk about one thing that is not in our normal unrestricted budget, and that's our Stupa project. That's something where we account for that separately. And all the money that was ever donated for that is kept in a separate accounting item, and it's only spent, or only was ever intended to be spent, on the Stupa itself. And that's the way we managed it. So the members of Kadampa Center began the Stupa project as a thought way back in 2002, almost 12 years ago. And at that time, they committed to sometime in the long-term future to build a stupa, and they began to put aside the bookstore profits every year to do that. And on average, that was $2,000 a year, $3,000 a year, and it was just accumulated in a money market account, and it was growing there for 9 years, slowly, until it had about $30,000 in it. 2.5 years ago, when Jompel became available to be our stupa designer. And at that point, the board decided, yep, we're going to go for it. Even though we don't have enough money, we've got some, and we're going to start the project. So we did, And after 2.5 years of construction, the dedication was on May 25th, 3 weeks ago. And from a financial point of view, the total donations which came in and the bookstore profit from all those years came to $95,000. And the total expenses through May 31st came to $89,500, so we're in good shape. We have $5,800 still in the fund that we're going to be using for lighting it. We're going to have lights, LED lights, that light it up all night long, every night. We are planning to put a couple of benches around it. And, of course, we have to maintain it. So we do have a modest expense to go, but the money is on hand to do that and finish this whole part of the project. So certainly we all should feel thankful to all those who donated, even those who bought books in the bookstore. They contributed because the profit went to the stupa. And through all those efforts, it's been completed. So in summary, this year, donations have been at 34% of budget. Expenses are at 35% of budget. The year is 41% gone, so that means we've squeezed down the expenses. And, of course, the income's been lagging very slightly. We have a small deficit. Cash on hand is at a good level. Visiting teachers are often something where expenses are lower than income, and we do not have any more scheduled for this year, so that's a little concern that we'll have to make up what we might have gotten there. The financial needs of the stupa project have been met, so things are in good shape. And we have a financial development committee. They're the people that organize our annual appeal and worry about Tara statue campaigns and any other method that we use to raise money. And Jim Green is a member of that. And now the center.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing today?
Good.
Did you all enjoy the Dharma this morning? I got a lot out of that, actually. So I thank everybody for being part of that. One thing I want to thank you, Geshe-la, is that it's so skillfully delivered. Many times you can get sort of talked at, but to have this sort of interactive way of being a part of the conversation, I think is a very skillful way to deliver the Dharma. Thank you. You know, we have David did a great job of explaining how we have staff and the Sangha here to help us with this, to offer up this very vibrant Dharma, and you know, they do an incredible job, almost seamless. But there is an incredible amount of support that goes on at the Kadampa Center, and I'm here to talk to you about the two types of support, really, that we're going to ask you to get involved with and that already occur. And so the two types are through volunteerism and then through financial donation. And so I was speaking with Venerable Chukala, who is our volunteer coordinator, and she was gave me an amazing number, 160 discrete volunteer opportunities here at the Kadampa Center that range from I'm sure Sarah's going to ask people to help tear down the offering or disassemble the offering today. But from something that like that, with no experience required, we can do that sort of spur of the moment through complicated committee work. There's just myriad volunteer opportunities. And if you looked at those financials and the $185,100 in expenses, if you added in the volunteer hours that went into the Kadampa Center, it is an amazing amount of what we would have to pay for that's covered by volunteerism. So we really do need you to get involved. And if you want to be involved at the Volunteer Center, at the Kadampa Center, please you can contact me. And my information is going to pop up here in just a second. this is my personal contact information. If you want to get involved, just go ahead and contact me, and I'll connect you to the right people. The second way I want to talk about supporting the center is through financial donation. And so we have many different ways that you can get involved. You saw that the types of things that I motivate me and motivate many people to donate, Tara statues, visiting teachers, monk and nun support, just general operating. So there's many different things that we hope that will engage you as different people in how you want to support the Kadampa Center financially. And then there are the ways that you can give. So we have almost every conceivable way of giving and you can get involved with. So I piggybacked on David's wonderful PowerPoint, but I bring old school props. So here we go. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Vanna White. David.
The Donna box.
The Donna box, right. So there's three of these Donna boxes. There's one out near the door. This is by the Kadampa Cafe where the treats are. And then there's one at the back. You all, about every other seat has one of these envelopes. If you want to give, then you can go ahead and put cash or check. And remember, you know, as you're coming, if this is the way that you like to give, to bring cash and a check. You can put the donation in here and just drop it in the box. If you want it to go to a specific purpose like Tara statues or general support, monk and nun support, write it on the envelope if you don't mind. We also have the pledge forms, which are out in on the materials rack. What's it called?
Brochure rack.
Brochure rack. The rack out front. It's a bright orange sheet. It's a pledge form. It's very simple to fill out, and you can do this, and this just basically says, I'd like to contribute. You can give through credit card, cash, or check on this as well. And you can drop those in the Donna boxes as well. Let's see. If you want to give and you're a little more, you know, credit card savvy and you want to do that, then you can use the bookstore credit card machine. Just go in there, swipe the card, and type in a donation amount, and that'll be a donation as well. If you are planning on your estate or will, you can contact me. We have some things up coming up where, you know, if you're thinking about that, more long-term investment, then contact me and we can definitely do that. You can go online to www.kadampa-center.org/donate. Or if you just go to our homepage, there's a donate. There's the word donate up in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, and you can click on that, and that'll take you to a one-time donation site where you can give as well. And then we do pass the Donna Bowls around as well, where we ask for contributions every Sunday. You can give at the classes through cash or check. Basically, there's any way that you want to get involved. We really do appreciate and need your support. This is, we are proud. I would say it's one of our core beliefs that the Dharma should be offered freely. And so all the classes and all the teachings are offered freely. But, you know, as a consequence of that, we have to find ways to present this to you. Thank you very much. I think the next slide is for questions, right, David?
That's correct. If anyone has questions, we can just say it.
If you give online or if you give it through the credit machine, do you just write on the slip? And is there a place online to say what it's for if you need it, if you have to have it go to something specific?
I'm not sure that the website has that.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It is on the website, and if you give through the bookstore, please on your slip when you sign it and tuck it in the envelope, just say donation, or if you have something specific, write donation for, and then we'll get that. So thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you for your attention. And now it's on to the closing prayer.
Okay. All right. So if you'll turn to the pink sheet in the prayer book, the first one, I think we're going to have a we're now having an opportunity to make a donation, if you like, with the generosity bowls we'll be passing around. And while we're doing that, I'd like to read the prayers list. Prayers for happy rebirths, all those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom, Venerable Sophia Sue, Frank Ferreira, Herbert Greaves, Allison Haar, Barney the dog, Mikey the dog, Oakley the dog, Job Search, Daniel Dimitrov, David Hayes, prayers for health and well-being, Kyabje Lama Zompa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Chukyi Lamo, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Wayne Brannan, Susan Daniel, Mildred Gooch, Allison Haar's family, Sharon Hill, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Shelley Miller, Ian Mahler, Adrian Oliver, Jay Pandya, Aunt Polly, Ralph and Lee Powell and family, Chuck and Faye Renard, Jason Lee Roman, Rubin family, Dr. Albert Sontz, Greg Shario, Rosemary Cease, Maria Stalmaker, David Allen Slanger, Lori Todd, Mike Truffer and Sue Clifton, Dion Washington, Kathy Wormser, Judith Wormser, Betsy Yop, Scooby the dog, Teddy the dog. If you'd like to add any names, would you please say them now? May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion. To the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Awatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.